Up next, the Swing Day Edition, the Wednesday version of Astrological Metaphysical Radio on KFOX, so don't go away. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 90s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. The metaphysical topic for you today on soul growth. What happens when you work out your karma? What happens when you go through a hard time, an ordeal, a trauma? And the results when you finally clear it, process it, and the key, forgiveness of self. That's right. Isn't it funny when you go to confession in the Catholic Church, one of the first things out of your mouth is, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." You know what they're looking for? They are looking for some soul growth. They are looking for absolution of the problem, of the karma, and also reaching a point where finally the situation is absolved. But you know, these are strange times. Karma is running so hot. Remember that song by John Lennon, Instant Karma? You make one mistake right now, look out. Things are so crazy. Remember I talked to you about the guy who had the Porsche the other day that got smashed up and he was thinking about selling it, and I told you the responsibilities of maintaining a big asset like that. Guy comes over to my house the other day, parks it in front of my house, right across the street from the same place where it got smashed. Wouldn't you know it? We sat there and said, "Do you think it could possibly happen again?" And someone backs into that car while they're trying to get out of a parking place and sets off the alarm. We go running outside the house. I'm telling you, this thing about life is the more you create, the more you manifest, the more you buy, the more you assume responsibility for, then the much greater the pressure of maintaining that responsibility. And that's what karma is all about. When you build a mountain, when you build an empire, when you get married or have family or have children, every time you take a major step where you think it is progress, what you're really doing is creating a lot of work, a lot of worry, and a tremendous amount of responsibility. Frankly, I think my friend would be better off with the money for that Porsche and probably a new Volkswagen instead. That way, if somebody smashed that, he'd just get some of the money he got from the Porsche and buy another three Volkswagens or something. But anyway, that's the way life works. And today's topic is called soul growth. If you think about the biggest pain you've ever been through in your life, if you think about why, you know, a lot of times people will look at their lives and they'll notice that their life is a series of one trauma after another. And oftentimes it's focused in one area of your life, like your car, or your relationships, or your career, or your family. Every time you talk to your father, it's the same old thing, the same old grind. That's karma. You have a debt. There's a lesson there to be learned with your father. If you ever reach a point where you're actually getting along and you love each other and things are okay and you don't have any regrets or guilt or remorse about what's happened with your father in the past, well, that karma has temporarily been resolved. And that's when you receive benefits. You see, one of the sick things about life is that you have to go through a gauntlet in order to rise into the light in life. In other words, I have found in life that you can't have anything unless you pay a price for it. Now, I want to try to define for you what I think soul growth is. A lot of you get our packages and you notice a book in there called Lighting the Light Within by Dick Sutphin. A lot of you maybe have read the book and some of you might have left it lay around the house. If you pick that book up and if you started reading it, you would probably eventually come to the conclusion that we are all living in like a big fortified insulated suit of some kind where we really don't know what's happening, which means that we're really, as far as consciousness is concerned, we don't have much in general. Human beings think they know it all, but in truth, we really know very little. This is 1989. When we take back a look at the 1980s, 3,000 years from now, in the year 6,000, we will appear to be more monkey-like than the cavemen do to us. That's my point. Soul growth is a phenomena that occurs where this veil is lifted, where this suit is cut, and where suddenly we are able to access a part of our brain, of our consciousness, where we have a knowingness about things, where we don't have to be taught it, or we don't have to read about it in a book. It's almost like an overnight occurrence that happens to people that when they go through suffering, let's say you get over a big drug problem, or let's say you get over a big problem concerning your car, like an auto accident, or a big insurance problem, or you get over a big long hassle that you have with your father that you work with, or a big long hassle you've had with your mother, or you finally resolve some relationship, or God forbid you have some kind of crisis occur in your life with your family, with your children, pregnancy, whatever, and you finally get to a point where you feel safe, where you feel secure, where you've gotten over it. You know, I am aware that a lot of people out there have to put themselves through severe trauma, like surgery, like severe auto accidents. Now, some people don't pull out of this. You know, like some people, of course, will be given the opportunity to have the soul growth or to pass into the light and just go on beyond this world. But many of us, when we get over these intense situations where I, for one, have this problem where I black out a lot. I have a weak stomach, and if things get too intense for me, my astral body goes, I just faint. You know, I was the one in line for the polio shots back in school in the 60s. Of all the 300-400 kids to get inoculated, two of us fainted, me and Dale Irwin, and we woke up together in the nurse's office, and same with blood tests, out like a light. Went to get a blood test when I got married in 1972. As soon as that needle went in, I went down. A couple times I've had the flu, down, hit the turf. Those of you out there that are like that are sensitive, if you try to ever communicate to people what it's like to faint or black out, I can't consider death being any worse, because as far as I'm concerned, fainting is an uncontrollable situation that occurs where it appears that something or someone is pulling the switch on your life force and you just suddenly lose consciousness. It's like, I don't know if you ever sense that feeling that occurs moments before you do faint, where you say to yourself, aha, something's going on. I'm having a physiological reaction. I'm about to black out. And it's like, oh no, I'm driving in the middle of the freeway. Don't black out now, please God. You know, so you got to pull over and stop that. But obviously, if you have a lot of fainting spells or a lot of blackouts, you probably should go see a doctor, because this could be serious. But the point is that oftentimes when we do have blackouts, and it's funny that a lot of people into drugs and alcoholism, when they do bottom out, they reach a point where they do have a lot of fainting spells. You know, and it gets so scary that that's why a lot of them go straight. But the point is that when you work out karma and you're able to process pain, and when you were able to go through a transition period in your life, let's say you're turning 30, you're having a Saturn return, or you're in your 30s or 40s, and you're having your midlife crisis where you don't know where your career's going, you don't know where your relationship's going, you don't know about family planning, real estate, money, power, retirement, whatever, you're worried. And it seems like once in a while in life, everything's going fine, then boom, you fall into a Murphy's Law category where everything, everywhere you turn, seems to be going berserk. You got a neck ache one day, you got a leg ache the next day, you got a headache the next day, someone smashes your car the next day, you have an accident the next day, you end up with the flu or a cold the next day. It's like boom, bam, boom, boom. You're blaming the Nintendo game, you're blaming this, you're blaming that. And the reason why this stuff happens is because you are being given an opportunity to get through this suffering and then try to figure out why you're being put through it. See, if you try to figure out, understand that there's a lesson behind everything that happens in the universe is literally trying to guide you into an area where you should be. Which is saying, well, if you don't get rid of that Porsche that someone's already smashed up once and that the alarm's already been set off again, and you do decide to keep it, well, maybe something worse will happen, like it'll be stolen. God forbid you might end up in an accident and be hurt from it. See, like, there's a destiny fork. Like, you're sitting, it's like the yellow brick road in The Wizard of Oz. All of a sudden, Dorothy, when she got to the Scarecrow, there was a fork where three paths could have been taken. But what Dorothy didn't know is all three of those roads led to Oz. But still, she was confused. And oftentimes in your life, all the forks that you are confronted with may not lead to Oz. Like A, if you keep the Porsche, that's one destiny fork. B, if you sell the Porsche, that's another destiny fork. It means more money in the bank and less worry about the car. Or C, maybe you might want to sell the Porsche and not get a car and get a limo or hire a chauffeur with all the money you have. Put it in an interest-bearing account and pay the chauffeur off with that. See, but the thing is that you are constantly being set up with choices, And your soul is subject to the ramifications and also responsible for whatever choices you make. Now, let's give you an example here. Let's take a look at some people that I think are brain dead. People that do not work out their karma. People that have no compassion for themselves. People that don't know how to forgive themselves or others. People that walk around with a lot of hate, a lot of anger, a lot of prejudice, and a lot of discrimination inside themselves. People that refuse to acknowledge the spirit world and some of the philosophies of God, some of the ramifications behind the higher power. People that walk around in a self-enclosed shell of protection that prevents them from absorbing knowledge in the universe. What we're talking about here is a logical mind that could be void of spirit. In other words, and this person gets in trouble instead of praying and instead of meditating and instead of asking for guidance from the universe or from God, what they do is they get mad. They get angry. They build up hate, anger, and stress. It goes to somewhere in their body, like their neck or their leg, and they can get sick or they can create an illness. And that's why if you do end up in the hospital, or if you do end up the victim of a violent crime or as a criminal that would do the crime, then your level of karma is getting compounded to such a point where you haven't really been paying your dues and adhering to some of the options you have to experience growth that would open you up to a relationship to your soul. See, because soul growth means that you as an individual, you as a human being, are going to have contact with that higher part of yourself that exists that so many people do not wish to acknowledge. So I have found, for example, that people that get into things like reincarnational concepts, meditation, crystals, astrology, metaphysics, they have gone through enough bull, enough crap, where they like to get some answers and understand how the law of karma works, understand when they do go through pain and suffering, why they are able to process their problems and their fears and their hates and their prejudices and their obsessions, you know, because a lot of us create this karma because we can't let go of an individual or a situation that rides with us. A lot of us that have cancer factor in our chart, you know, like a lot of people born in the 50s with Uranus in Cancer, and a lot of people that have Jupiter in Cancer in 1942, for example, and many of us have Cancer rising, Cancer moon. With all these Capricorn oppositions right now, what we're being asked to is let go of the past, which means to forgive ourselves and to forgive other people that have hurt us in the past or that are hurting us now, and to clean out the house of all these memories and all these bills and all these worries that we've been saving. I went through my files the other day, and boy, do I have a lot of them, because I have Venus in Cancer and tend to drag, like the cat drags in things. Well, I do that too. And I have so much junk in the house. I think that I found like 5 years of mail that I've saved, junk mail that's just laying around the house that I never threw away. And, you know, if you ever heard my topic on the soul bowl philosophy is that we can almost only fill up our life with so much clutter, whether it's paperwork, real estate, relationships, bills, goals, friends. It's like the guy with the Porsche, by selling that $75,000 car, he's emptying out his soul bowl. It's like pouring a 5-gallon bowl of water out with 1/5 of that water, that by getting rid of that portion of his life that's been a big headache, he is allowing there to be a vacancy for him to fill that bowl up with something else that could be a business that might replace it. See what I mean? So you work out one part of your life and you allow some newness and some positive energy to come in. So we constantly have to unload the soul bowl of the negative energy, an energy that's holding us down in the karma, to allow for the positive energy and the blessings and the deeds and the energy to come flowing in to allow us to be a lot more happier and a lot more comfortable. And, you know, obviously some things happen, you know, like for example, if your soul bowl is full and all of a sudden you're a woman out there, a single woman, and you just met a guy or whatever, and you end up getting pregnant. But there's no room in your soul bowl or his soul bowl for this baby. And people wonder why abortion is legal right now. Well, I'll tell you why. Because all these people in the world have soul bowls that are so filled, that the karma is running so hot right now, that's why there is a pro-choice that is legal, because it allows people to empty their soul bowls without making them overflow. You know, I know a lot of people that have had children in the world. And a lot of people that are against abortion, of course, might be listening to this topic, and it's a very controversial topic, of course. But I know a lot of children that are brought into this world, and their lives are miserable. Right now, there, as I speak, there are millions of children out there that might not have come into this planet with some kind of population control, and even though you say you're against it, right, a lot of people that are pro-choice are saying, hey, we are bringing a lot of individuals into this planet that otherwise might suffer, that otherwise might be in unstable environments with single parents that don't have enough money to raise them and that are raised in an emotionally, psychologically devastating period. And oftentimes, sometimes when I was a kid, I looked at my life and thought, my gosh, maybe if somebody would have negated the pregnancy for me, it would have been easier too. Because if we lived in a world where we could bring children in, and every child we brought in, it's funny, when the waves hit the pier, the whole building rocks. It's like an earthquake here. But when we bring children in, wouldn't it be nice one day in the Aquarian age that we could bring children in into the perfect environment where we knew that every child that was to be born on this planet would be born under an umbrella of love and kindness and fatherly and motherly paternal support and attention and tenderness and an environment that promoted spirit and happiness? No, but there's no guarantee. So we have millions of children on this planet that are lost, that are runaways, that are homeless, that are drug addicts, that are affected by birth defects or whatever, AIDS, because their parents were in messed up places prior to that. And that's why when you go through a traumatic experience, like an abortion, the soul growth that you are being offered by forgiving yourself and forgiving the individual that you're involved with, or something like going through a divorce that is also just as traumatic, or the death of a best friend, or a mother, or a father. I mean, no matter what it is you go through that seems to be a catastrophic change emotionally and spiritually, it is so important that you seek forgiveness. Just like the beginning of the topic when I walked in the door and said, when you go to Catholic confession, the first thing you says out of your mouth is, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. And what you're really saying, symbolically, metaphysically, is you're asking your soul, your own self, to forgive yourself for the mistake you made, that hopefully you will have benefits, that you will have soul growth, that you will learn from this, that you will spiritually mature, that your awareness level will raise, and that it will allow you to be a better person and a more evolved spirit. And this is when you get in touch with your higher power. When suddenly your psychic abilities and your intuitive nature is higher, when suddenly you are able to manifest things in your life that are more positive and good and better for you, when you've finally gotten over the traumatic experience you've gone through, when you've made it, when you've won because you survived it, when you've surrounded the environment and the energy involved in the experience with love and light and hope and confidence that everyone involved and everything involved will be okay, where the forgiveness factor is high, and where the need to feel obsessed or greedy or desirous or intense can fade away, when you finally acknowledge the Spirit of God that exists inside you and all people that you meet, that's when your soul growth becomes optimum. That's when the veil is lifted. And that's when so many times, if not all the time, we are given the insight and the power that allows us to live our life with some kind of perspective that explains everything. When the situation is finally done and we've finally gotten through the ordeal of the consolidation of the business partnership, of selling the boat that's been a pain in the neck, of selling the car that's been a pain in the neck, of resolving the marriage that's been a pain in the neck, of finally resolving the problem with the children, or resolving the pregnancy with the abortion, or resolving the drug and alcohol problem, whatever it is, when you finally get over it, it's important to forgive yourself and ask for forgiveness. And no guilt, no regrets, no remorse. You try and be a better person for it. You try to avoid the mistake you made to compound the cycle. Maybe it would mean to a woman that's been pregnant several times, for example, to follow her ovulation cycle. Maybe this will be the key to be more aware of that fertile period, the fertile mucus they call it, when the ovulation cycle occurs. And for that woman, for no other reason, to not get involved in a sexual act during that period. That way she has no one to blame, not herself, not the other guy, because she's aware. And she doesn't trust anything but her own body. If we could train all of our little girls when they're growing up and teach them about their ovulation cycle, at number one, birth control, common sense. If we could somehow train little boys and little girls along the lines of love and relationships and the responsibility they must assume for things like statements of love, or contact sexually, or commitment and what it means, ethics and what's involved there, promiscuity, loyalty. You know, but we don't have that kind of stuff. And because we don't have a lot of that stuff, a lot of us have to go to the school of hard knocks, the college of hard knocks, the street sense thing. Sometimes if you don't learn it in school and you don't have someone to tell you, you gotta go through the trauma of the karma in order to rise above it and have the growth. And many of you that are going through Saturn cycles, if you're 27 to 30, if you're 38 to 44, if you're 56 to 60, if you're 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, or plus or minus a year, 49, 56, 65, those are all Saturn cycles. Saturn square Saturn, Saturn opposed Saturn, Saturn conjunct Saturn. That's karma time. If you have any planets in the transit state that are aspecting your Saturn in a hard transit, square opposition, then you will be going through this cycle. Right now, this week, Mars is in Scorpio. It's at 22 degrees, and it is square my Saturn at 25 Leo. My karma's been running hot. Very instant karma time. It's very important for me to try to get into a forgiveness mode and try to proceed with my life as logically and as clearly and as soundly as possible, without self-judgment or judgment of others, you know, without prejudice or obsession, to try to move forward and try to be at peace with myself and the world, and also try to take the karma one at a time and resolve it, and therefore get better each time. It's always darkest right before the dawn, but eventually the dawn comes. You know, I was talking to my orthopedic surgeon about my leg yesterday, Dr. Horst, James Horst. You know, the guy is so funny. I said, you know, somebody had been giving me some healing on my knee, and it got better now. I've been able to bend it. And he says, isn't that funny how the power of the mind works? Sometimes people that don't like a doctor will change doctors, and just because they change the doctor, just because they have more faith in the new doctor than that with the other one, that instills enough confidence and hope in the new situation, that helps manifest the healing. It is all in the mind. And if you have the confidence and if you have the optimism and you have the hope and it is clear and it is pure and it is sound, then you will survive. And it's that simple. And it works for me. And that's why we have this show, because I'm hoping it works for you.